take your Bibles this morning, turn back to the book of Galatians, chapter number 6 again. Book of Galatians, chapter number 6. We're docking in verse 7 and 8 for a little while. Last week we looked at the first part of Be Not Deceived, and we talked about the things that can deceive us. We saw how that intoxicants are deceivers. Amen. We live in a time where people are so deceived by drugs and alcohol, but those are not the only intoxicants. Entertainment. The television has been, if the advent of television and the internet have had their part in moving people away from the truth. And that's what deception is. It moves you away from the truth. And the Bible cautions us to not be deceived. Don't allow yourself to be moved from the truth. We saw how riches are a deceiver, and how that some people, you know, trust in riches for security. But listen, it could be gone in a moment. Gone in a moment. And some people look to riches for happiness, but they only find more discontentment, because riches cannot bring you happiness. And riches can cause you to turn from the important things in your life. I know people who got windfalls of money and it took them out of church. They bought things that carried them other places on God's day. And they got out of church and they got away from the Lord. And their lives are in shambles now because they were deceived by riches. And then we saw how sin is a deceiver. Sin is deceitful because of its pleasure. Sin is pleasurable, but only for a season. And we saw sin is deceitful because of its harvest. And be sure, there is a harvest. You sow sin, and you're going to reap destruction in your life. This morning, we want to look at the people who deceive. The people who deceive. And let's read our verses, verse 7 and 8, Galatians 6. Verse number 7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." So this morning we want to look at the people who deceive. In this epistle, we have seen how that many of the Galatians had allowed themselves to be deceived by these people called the Judaizers. That's what they were known as, who were trying to add the law, keeping the law as a requirement of salvation. And that gets away from the pure grace of God, gets away from the finished work of Jesus Christ. Listen, you can't add anything to Christ's salvation. It's either all of Him or you don't have it. And if you think that you have any part in that salvation other than just believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're woefully mistaken. You've been deceived in that. Now this morning I want us to take a look at some people who deceive, and I want to begin with that the Bible shows us that Satan is a deceiver. Satan is a deceiver. And he showed this from the very beginning. You know, we know the story of how Adam and Eve were created by the Lord and placed in the Garden of Eden. And Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:14, he said, Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So he said that Eve was deceived by Satan. Now, if you remember to go back to the story of Eve there looking at the tree, Satan actually got her taking a look at it and then desiring it. And before you know it, he's got her picking the fruit, eating the fruit, and giving to her husband. He eats fruit. But rather than going by the word of the Lord said, don't partake of that tree in the midst of the garden. Satan began to question God's word. And that really is one tactic that he uses a lot, as he gets you to begin questioning God's true word. And when he said, you're not going to surely die whenever you eat of this tree. It says, for God doth know the day that you eat thereof. You know, you're going to be as gods, knowing good and evil. In other words, you just become like God. You know, don't believe that message that you're going to die. What was he doing? Is he getting her moved away from the truth? And that's what Satan does. Satan gets folks to move away from the truth. In fact, Revelation 12, verse number 9, says that Satan deceiveth the whole world. It talks about the time when Satan is cast out of heaven, and it says in Revelation 12, 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Make no doubt about it, this world, by and large, is deceived by Satan. And it's becoming more so that way the closer we get to the coming of the Lord. We don't see great masses of people turning to the Lord. I wish it were so. You know, there are some great evangelistic campaigns that you'll see, you know, a number of folks get saved. But really, when you look at the amount of people that are saved versus the number of people that are make up the population of this world, it's a very small percentage of folks that are getting saved. And that's because Satan has them deceived. Now, in John 8, verse 44, Jesus called Satan the father of lies. And in fact, let me quote that John 8, 44 to you. He was talking to a group of religious folks. He said, "You're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." So Jesus didn't make no bones about it. The devil is a dirty, rotten liar. And listen, you know, if you begin listening to the wrong source, you begin listening to the things that he has counterfeited of God, you're going to be deceived as well. And that brings us to the first point, sub-point under this, is that we know that Satan tries to counterfeit all that God has. I hope you know that. Everything that God has, Satan wants to have a counterfeit for it. And number one thing we could look at is that book that you hold in your hand, the Bible, God's Word. And, you know, God has one book of truth that contains His Word. There are not multiple books of truth that are out there. There's one book of truth. Satan has many books. You know, a lot of them that are out there. The book of the Koran. Now, you can get yourself killed saying it's not a book of God, but it's not. With the Book of Mormon, it's not another testament of Jesus Christ. Don't be deceived by those people that come to your door and say, "Oh, yeah, the Bible's good, but we got this another testament of Jesus Christ." No, you're being sold a false bill of goods. It's not. Whether we talk about the sayings of Confucius or some other book of some other religion, listen, even if we're talking about all the perversions of the true Word of God, listen, there's only one book. And when you take a look at all these perversions that are coming out, they say things that are different than this book. You know, if things are not saying the same thing, they don't agree with one another. And they both can't beat the Word of God. Stick with your King James Bible. It is God's truth. Think about how Satan tries to counterfeit Christ. You know, God has one Christ. Got one. And Satan has many antichrists. In fact, the Apostle John said in 1 John 2, verse 18, he says, "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that antichrist shall come," he said, "even now are there many antichrists." Now, if there were many in John's day, how many more do you think there are in our day? You know? He says, whereby we know that it's the last time. He says, you know, one of the reasons why you know it's the last time is because the proliferation of antichrists that there are. 1 John 2:22, he says, "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ?" You believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah? There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Listen, don't let Satan sell you a false bill of goods. Right now, I shared in Sunday school, I think it was last week, we took a look at the truth that there's a lot of Antichrist people proclaiming that they are the second coming of the Lord right now that are living in the world. I shared about, I think it was 10 people. There's 10 people that was listed in the National Geographic a couple of years back that they believe that they are the second coming of Jesus Christ, and they have some of their followers deceived in the thinking that they are the second coming of Christ. And even the writer of the article in the National Geographic, he was deceived and said, "How do we know that one of these is not the one?" Well, the very fact that Jesus hasn't come again, amen. And these Jesus, supposed Jesuses that have come again, if you study them out, you'll know that they're not true. You'll know that they are false. Listen, we know that Satan will use any and every means to try to deceive, because that's what he's good at. He's good at deceiving. He's good at lying. And that's why we need to be on our guard. That's why it's so important for you to be in the Word of God. It's why it's so important for you to be in the house of God and fellowship with the people of God and hear the preaching of the Word of God, because there is so much deception in the world. We know that Satan loves to use politics, and boy, is he using it now to try to deceive folks. He tries to use power. You ever known somebody that was deceived by power? They craved that power. There's going to be a political, powerful guy that's going to come on the scene here before long. And, I thank God we're going to be out of here whenever he's revealed. But he's the Antichrist, and we'll talk about him here a little bit later. But politics, power, riches, pleasure, and even religion. There's so many different types of religions. How can we know the truth? Look in the Word of God. That's how you know the truth. The Word of God. Search the Scriptures, for in them do you think you have eternal life, Jesus said, and they are they which testify of me. And so it's important that we understand that Satan is a deceiver. Second of all, I want you to understand that the Bible shows us that mankind, especially those that are lost, are deceitful. Mankind are deceitful. Jesus said in John 8:44, he told the group that he was talking to, "You are of your father the devil." In other words, you got the characteristics that he's got. He's a liar, he's a deceiver, and you're part of that. And he said, "You're your father the devil, and lust of your father you will do." Listen to Paul's admonition, his warning to the Colossian church as he was writing his letter to them in Colossians 2:8. He told them, he says, "Beware. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Listen, even after you come to know the Lord, there's going to be sources that are going to try to pull you away from the truth that you know and have come to know in the Lord. Don't allow them to do it. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:13 that he said, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Now, if that was true in Timothy's day, how much more true is it in our day? I mean, there are more evil men, they're greater in number, and there's greater ways to deceive. When you think of technology that we have in the world today, we live in the most technological time. In fact, you blink and technology changes. You buy something today and it's liable to be out of date tomorrow. Things are changing so fast. But listen, the more that we get technologically advanced, the more ways there are for people to deceive. The more there are ways for Satan to do his work. I was talking to Brother James back there, and I was telling him, we're told that two-thirds of the internet, two-thirds of it, is nothing more than pornography. Well, pornography is a deceiver. Satan uses it to deceive people. And when you think about two-thirds, now the internet can be used for great things, but you need to be guarded how your children You know, don't leave your children on there alone. You know, don't let them get there on there by themselves. You need to caution them. In fact, you probably need to have some guards in place to keep them from accidentally going to places. I know when our kids were coming up and the computer was new and this internet thing was really kind of new, and we were naive, you know, and you go in there and you search for something completely innocent, but they've got it tied to pornography. You know, if you're not careful, it'll get you to a go-kart, something as simple as go-kart racing. You could go-kart racing. How they can tie that to pornography, I do not know. But I remember that particular search, there was something about that we just had to say, look, Mom and Daddy's going to take and do the search, and we'll find what you need. Don't go clicking on anything and everything that's there. And how much more do we need to be guardful in this day and time in which we live? Because evil men and seducers are going to continue to wax worse and worse, and they are going to be deceiving others, and they are going to be deceived themselves. Understand that mankind is deceitful in business. Remember when you could seal a deal with a handshake? Remember when a man's word was his bond? Those days are long past. We had the Better Business Bureau in our day, and the Attorney General's office, and the places like Consumer Product Safety Commission, and the list goes on of groups that try to protect the public. But even in the midst of all of that, they can't protect the public because evil men are still out there, and they find a way of getting around. You know, they'll be in business with one name today, and they find out that somebody's on their trail, they'll change the name of the business, and they'll still be doing their wickedness, doing it under a different name. Mankind is deceitful in business. Mankind is deceitful in politics. Just look at what is happening right now in the political arena. Deception, deception, deception. They're trying to get you focused on the other things than what you need to be focused on. Trying to move you away from the truth. Keep your eyes focused on the truth during these evil days that you live in. Mankind is deceitful in religion. You're there in Galatians 6. Where I want you to look at is over in just Ephesians 4. So it's just one page over to the right. You don't have to go very far. What we're talking about, this mankind is deceitful in religion. You know, you need to be careful about what you believe. Don't swallow anything that sounds good that comes along. Listen, I'm talking about, even if somebody is using the King James Bible, you need to compare Scripture with Scripture. You need to check up on them that they're not pulling something out of context and trying to make a doctrine out of it, or they're taking and selling you a false bill of goods. Look at Ephesians 4, verse number 11. It says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." And he says, "for the perfecting of the saints." That those people were given so that the saints might be perfected. And the saints are being perfected, see, for the work of the ministry. Okay, the purpose of perfecting the saints is so that the work of the ministry might get done. And the reason why we need the work of the ministry is for the edifying of the body of Christ. Okay, so those three things are tied together. He says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man," talking about maturity, "unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children." Notice, don't be a child tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You know, you need to be guarded about having an itching ear that's listening out for the latest, newest thing that's out there. I know it's real popular for a lot of preachers that are out there to get on the bandwagon of a certain hoopla that's poured into a lot of books that are out there. I don't get involved in that mess. Because a lot of it will take you away from the truth. A lot of it's not grounded in the truth. And I'm very careful about those things. And, you know, I prefer to listen to the Lord. Amen. But you need to be careful about what you believe. Don't swallow anything that just sounds good that comes along. Because listen to what 2 Corinthians 11:13 says. It says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." In other words, you might look at some of these that are involved in deceit. They're deceitful in these religious things, and they may sound like they got an air of truth to them. You really need to study it out. If you're going to listen to them, and I highly recommend that you don't, especially these guys that are on the television set. There's a lot of truth mixed with error. A lot of things that these fellows have transformed themselves into apostles of Christ, but they are really nothing more than deceitful workers. Look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter number 2. I'm going to have you turn to a lot of places this morning, but I do want you to turn here. Second Peter, chapter number 2, and look at verse 1 through 3. Peter says here, 2 Peter 2, verse 1, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." Now, the word privily means to lead in aside, to introduce secretly. In other words, they're trying to draw you away from the truth. Look at verse 2. "And many," did you get that word many? "Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." What am I saying? I'm saying, listen, mankind can be deceitful. A lot of deceivers out there, and you need to be careful. I've even told you folks that you don't just need to take your pastor's word for things. You need to study things out for yourself. Amen? I can't tell you how many supposed quote-unquote men of God that I knew that were seemingly going according to the truth, and then all of a sudden they got drawn into error. They got pulled away from where they once stood. It's happening all across our land, all across the world. People get deceived. People get drawn in to what's happening in the world. Don't allow yourself to be a part of it. Stand strong in the truth. Third thing I want you to see this morning is the Bible shows that the coming Antichrist will be deceitful. Now, I shared part of this morning. Look at 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians and chapter number 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Now we know, as I said a while ago, that Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:13, "The evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Can I tell you that people are being deceived more so today than ever before? An increasing number of people are swallowing lies each and every day, and it's getting worse and worse with each and every passing day. After the Lord Jesus comes to call His church out of this world, which is what this passage is talking about, all that deception is going to culminate in the most evil, the most seducing, the most deceived, and the most deceiving man this world has ever known. Okay? I want you to get that now. He's going to be the most evil, the most seducing, the most deceived, and the most deceiving man this world has ever known. Here in the verses of 2 Thessalonians 2, look at verse number 1. It says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together with Him, that ye," notice here, hear what he says, "that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." There were people that were distributing during that day messages and saying, you know, this is what Paul wrote. And Paul didn't write it. They were saying, here's a message from Paul, that the day of Christ is at hand. We're already there. And Paul said, hey, don't be deceived in that. Look at verse 3. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away." Apostasy. Okay? Let it come a falling away first. "And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." And we see here, he's called that man of sin there in verse number 3. He's called the son of perdition there. And then down in verse number 8, he's called that wicked. I'm not going to read on down, but if you read on down through verse number 12, you see a lot about this deception. In fact, he is a great deceiver. And we know that the book of Revelation chapter 13, he's also called the beast. Who are we talking about? We're talking about the Antichrist. We're talking about Satan's counterfeit of the real Christ. You know, he's going to be... People are looking right now, in our day and time, they're looking for somebody who is the answer to man's problems, aren't they? Who is the answer to our political strife that we see in our country? The split. There's a growing split in our country. They need somebody that can pull us all together. Am I right? That's what people are looking for. I'm talking by and large, that's what they're looking for in the world. You know, we see unrest at every hand. There's unrest all over the world. If you take a look at Brazil, Nicaragua, Venezuela, Haiti, our own nation, other nations, you see a lot of unrest, a lot of marching in the streets, a lot of people upset with their political heads, the people who are ruling their nations. What are they wanting? They're wanting somebody who's got the answer. Well, he's coming. At least he's going to proclaim he's got the answer. And he's going to come. And what is he going to do? He's going to deceive. He's going to deceive. The Antichrist will come. And he will show himself to be the answer. And maybe for just a little while, it'll look like he is the answer until he shows his true colors. Yeah. He is that man of sin. He is the son of perdition. He is that wicked. He is the beast. Fourth thing I want you to see is the Bible shows that our own sinful heart is deceitful. And we're talking about the people who deceive. Let's not leave us out. Our hearts. Your heart. Not talking about the thing that beats in your chest. Okay? We're talking about the real you, the inside. Okay? Jeremiah 17:9. Says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, the Lord warned the children of Israel of this, about the deceitfulness of their hearts. And He said in Deuteronomy 11:16, He told His people, He said, "Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them." In our Wednesday night studies right now, we're talking about Solomon. We started looking at Solomon this past Wednesday, his choices. And those of you that were with us, remember that he made a bad choice. He hooked up with a heathen woman, a daughter of Pharaoh, and went against the Word of God. What did the Word of God say? The Word of God said, hey, You're not to mingle with the others. Lest your heart be drawn away. And we saw that later on. We saw the passage of Scripture where he loved many strange women. That was just the first among many strange women that he loved. And they drew his heart away from the Lord. Men can be deceitful. The Bible shows that our own sinful heart is deceitful. See, the problem with the heart is that it not only deceives others, but it deceives us. Okay? There is no way to deal with all the ways that our hearts try to deceive us, but I want to take a look at a few this morning. First of all, the heart says, and there's a lot of folks who think this. They think, I'm associated with Christianity, therefore I must be a Christian. What does the Bible say? The Bible says in Proverbs 16:25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But Jesus said Himself in John 5:39, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Jesus also had said in John 3:3, says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Yet there are how many people in this world that don't think you need to be born again? John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. How many people say, oh, in our day and time especially, you can't say that Jesus is the only way. You can't say that. You know, that's your truth, but somebody else might have a different truth. No, truth is truth. It's either the truth or it's a lie. And Jesus spoke the truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. He didn't leave any room there for toleration. Now, we're not going to go holding guns to people and try to get them saved. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when we say that we're not tolerant of other ways, we're saying there's no other way to be saved. Okay? If you don't want to be saved, you're going to wind up in hell. But don't say that we didn't warn you. Don't say we didn't warn you, because Jesus said He was the only way to get to the Father. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's just one. Just one. Something else the heart says. The heart says, I can get by with sin. See, there's believers that believe they can get by with sin. But the Bible says in Numbers 32:23, be sure your sin will find you out. Unless you're not going to lose your salvation, but don't think you're going to get by with sin. Not going to happen. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God's not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And we're going to get in detail in that in a future message. But understand the truth of that. What you sow, you're going to reap. You sow sin, you're going to reap the consequences of sin. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. James 1:15, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The heart thinks it can get by with sin, but the Bible says differently. A third thing, the heart says there's plenty of time. When I'm older, I'll get saved. Or when I'm older, I'll start serving God. Or, you know, I intend on getting saved one day, just not today. But what does the Bible say? It says in Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I wonder when we stand before the judgment, when the judgments are, we won't be standing before the great white throne, but when the people stand before the great white throne, I wonder how many of them will have had a time when they said, well, you know, I plan on getting saved, just not today. Just not today. And their life was taken very shortly thereafter. I wonder how many there are going to be. The Bible also says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It's now. Something else the heart says. The heart says, I'm too old or sinful for God to save. Listen, Jesus said in John 6:37, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I don't care how sinful you are. Doesn't matter the number of sins that you've committed. Doesn't matter the egregious nature of the sins you've committed or the degree to which you have committed them. God can save you. Jesus Christ can save you. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. That's my Jesus. He can save anybody. In fact, He invited in Matthew 11:28, He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The heart says also, and this is the last one here, the heart says, there's got to be more to it than that. Salvation can't be that simple. So that was the lie of the Judaizers. The lie of the Judaizers, well, it can't be that simple. You've got to keep the law too. That's what they were saying. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11:3, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtleties, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." There's simplicity in the gospel. Simplicity. It's not hard. By grace through faith. God worked grace. He works the faith in your heart. He even gives you the ability to believe. Amen. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Look at Romans 10, and we'll be done. Romans 10. Familiar passage of Scripture here. Romans 10, verse number 8. I'll tell you what, let's do. Let's back up a little bit, though. Verse number 4. "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." It's the end of the law. The Galatians needed that message. Christ fulfilled the law, took the law out of the way for you. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. "For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them." And he told the Galatians as much. If you want to be saved by the law, you got to keep it all. You break it in one point. But you're a lawbreaker. And, the law shows that you're going to die. Of course, we're all lawbreakers. Amen. Look at verse 6. "But the righteousness which is of faith," okay, not law, "the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above." Christ has already come. We're not looking for the first coming of a Messiah. He's come already. "Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead?" He arose from the dead already. Amen? Christ came, He died for our sins, He was buried, and He arose again the third day. Look at verse 8. Here's the word of faith. "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." See, it's a heart transaction. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Folks, self-deception is the worst kind of deception of all. Be not deceived. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I wonder, are you being played for a fool? Are you being deceived by things or by people? Are you saved this morning? Do you know it? Are you sure? And if you are saved, are you serving? Okay. Jesus is coming back. We just finished talking about that. We've been talking about 3 weeks in our Sunday school hour. The return of Christ. He could come today. He may not come for a while. But we know we need to be ready. We need to be looking for His coming. We need to be living for His coming, living right, living for Him, and we need to be longing for His coming. We ought to have a heart's desire for Jesus to come back. Is your heart in the right place? If you're out of whack in any of those three, something's wrong. I'm afraid you probably got some deception going on in your heart because it's moved you away from the truth. The truth is that we are to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning for the truth of the Word of God. Lord, we know that the things that can deceive and the people that can deceive are great in this day and time which we live. Help us as believers, Lord, and to not be pulled away from the truth that we know. Help us to be faithful students, to study, to show ourselves approved unto You, so that we can be workmen that need not to be ashamed, because we rightly divide the word of truth. If the word can be rightly divided, it means it can be wrongly divided. And Lord, there's going to be people that are out there that are wrongly dividing the word of truth. They'll have the right Bible. Some of them are going to be wrongly dividing the word of truth. And we've got to be cautious. We've got to know what the truth is, so that we're not swallowing the counterfeit. We've got to be on our guard, because these are deceitful times we live in. Lord, help us with these truths. And Lord, if there's somebody here today that needs Jesus in their life, help them to come and get saved. But help us as believers to be in a position that we won't be deceived. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand if you're able.